Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us right now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, writes for the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, and talks Packers with us here on the Wendy's Big Show. He's Ryan Wood. Ryan, appreciate the time, man, during OTAs.
No problem. How's it going?
It's going fantastic. I joked about it a little bit, Ryan. I got this job now about 4 months ago. And if it wasn't for the big articles going and detailing the issues that were going on in Green Bay previously, we really wouldn't have had talked much Packers at all because of the run that the Milwaukee Bucks are on. But now, finally, we can focus on what's important and people playing football in shorts and what you're watching up there in Green Bay.
Yeah, it's been pretty quiet. It's rare to see Milwaukee carry the bandwagons like they have this past several months. So. But yeah, you're right. It won't be that much longer till all attention is put up here in Green Bay.
All right, let's talk about this offense and what LaFleur has. So Rodgers, all these guys are all saying that this is much different than what Packer fans have seen under Mike McCarthy. In what way is it different? Is it just formationally it's different? In what ways, I guess, are Packer fans going to see a difference?
Formationally, there's a lot more bunch formations. It's going to be... And, you know, we'll see more in camp, but it sure seems like it's going to be a lot of, a lot like Sean McVay does in L.A. A lot of the similar formations, but many different plays coming out of those formations. So, I think it was Aaron Jones talked about it yesterday. I mean, it's the idea is it's more difficult for a defense to be able to read and tell before the snap whether it's a pass play or a run play. Because of how similar those formations look. And this is also a head coach who, I mean, we'll see when they actually start playing. It all sounds good in May and June in the summer, but it sure seems like Matt LaFleur is going to be awfully committed to running the football. So if you have a good balance in offense and it's all coming from similar formations, that's a good thing. I mean, that camouflages and makes it more difficult for the defense. Now, the concepts are pretty similar. I mean, it's both West Coast. So the difference is from a quarterback standpoint for Aaron Rodgers, Luke Getsy said it today, it's small differences that he has to learn, not wide sweeping differences. And it's not like he has to rewire the last 15 years of knowledge that he has and completely start from scratch.
I saw Jamal Williams quotes talking about the fact that he's been able to run some passing routes and show off the ability that he has to catch the football. Do we expect the running backs to be more active in the passing game than maybe they were under Rodgers and McCarthy?
Yeah, I think, you know, we saw some red zone install yesterday, and the running backs were pretty active in that. It's all speculation until they start playing, obviously. And Matt LaFleur is keeping, as you can imagine, everything very close to the vest, and is going to do that through week one. Even the first couple weeks of the season, I imagine we won't see everything week one against the Bears. So, there's some speculation there, but I think they're going to, yeah, they like their running back room, and they're going to be reliant and use those guys to their skill sets. Jamal Williams, what we know he's probably best at is pass pro, and that's no small thing, especially on third down. And then he's got that downhill running style, and he is someone who has shown that he's got hands and he can run routes and he can be a factor in the passing game. I think that Aaron Jones has had much more to develop as a catcher and certainly as a pass blocker, but he's got the dynamite athleticism in the open field that if you just get him the ball, whether it be a swing route or a handoff, he can make big plays. So both of those guys are going to be, they complement each other well, and they're going to be big parts of this offense.
Talking Packers football with Ryan Wood here on the Wendy's Big Show. Ryan, what is that right side of the offensive line looking like? I saw the Rodgers quote about Billy Turner about a week and a half ago that he was slotting in well, and also you have the second-round Jenkins factoring into probably that guard conversation as well.
Yeah, it's looking like Billy Turner at right guard, and it's looking like Ryan Bulaga at right tackle, and that's your starting right side of the offensive line. Those guys in position drills, combo blocking, they're working together a lot to get their footwork mirrored up and to get on the same page and develop some chemistry. That if you're looking, you know, barring injury, that's going to be your week one right side of the offensive line. It's hard to see any other configuration at right guard or right tackle other than Turner and Bulaga. Behind them, the question is depth. And of course, you've got Elton Jenkins, who they're really focusing on guard right now. I mean, he was really well thought of as a center. Started the last 2 years at center at Mississippi State. Considered one of the better centers coming out in the draft. He's starting at guard, and we'll see what he can do as far as making a run at some snaps. But he's going to start behind those guys, and we'll have to see how the rest of the depth plays out. But that's been pretty consistently early on the starting right guard, starting right tackle with the ones, and I don't think that's going to change, or at least early on at camp.
Let's talk about that tight end position on the offense. I saw some positive reports about Tonyan and how he's looked so far. What about the rest of the tight ends and how this offense impacts them?
They seem to like him. You know, when they split off into scout and first team offense on opposite sides of the field, Tonyan's been with the starting offense. He hasn't been getting first team reps ahead of Jimmy Graham, but he's been with that group, so he's been actively involved. He's getting a chance, and it'll be interesting to see what he can do with that chance. You know, Justin Outen, the tight ends coach, said today that he's seen some flashes in the spring work. Now, it's a matter of, especially at that position, tight end, translating that once the pads come on. I mean, that's a very physically demanding position. You got to block, and Matt LaFleur has made it very clear that he expects his tight ends, even Jimmy Graham, not just Mercedes Lewis, he expects tight ends to block. Robert Tonyan is more of a Jimmy Graham than a Mercedes Lewis. He's not come from a blocking background, and that's going to be a big part of his adjustment and his transition, especially with this offense and this head coach. So that'll be interesting, but they like him so far. It's early, but it looks like he's going to get a chance.
I like what you just said there. It's different when you put the pads on and then when you're in OTAs, when you're in helmets and shorts, in the different positional groups. So in that sense, the two first-round picks, what have you seen from Gary and a position where it's going to be physical and it's tough to notice anything outside of pads in comparison to Darnell Savage in the secondary?
Yeah, well, both of those guys can really move well, and you can see that outside the pads. Gary especially, his first step is pretty obvious, and it's noticeable. Now, we have to see that with the pads on, obviously. So you can have a good first step with shorts, and if you can't disengage from a blocker, if you can't use your hands to complement your athleticism, it gets real tough for a pass rusher. So that'll be the next step. But just the eyeball test, out there in shorts and a helmet, he looks the part. Darnell Savage Jr., same story. He's real quick, and some of the veterans have had some really glowing things to say about his football aptitude and the fact that even as a rookie, he's picking up things really well, and that's good, because you got to be, from a football standpoint, you got to be intelligent as a safety. It's very important, and he seems to have that part down too. So you mirror the athleticism, the savvy for a young player. There's reason to be excited there. They just got to go do it once the real football starts.
Woody, what has the general consensus been on that linebacker feel right now? As we heard some Blake Martinez sound earlier today, he really seems like he could be taking over as the leader fully of that defense.
Yeah, he really does. I mean, just the way Mike Pettine described, unsolicited, described Blake Martinez, he's kind of like a quarterback of the defense. And it reminded me that, you know, Mike Pettine's always had that one guy who intellectually really gets his defensive scheme. For a long time, that guy was Jim Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
It almost seems like Blake Martinez could be that guy with this defense. I mean, on an organizational, intellectual, the ins and outs and the nuts and bolts of this defense, really understanding that at a very high level. And when you have that at your mic, I mean, that's a really good thing, because he's in the center of the defense. By nature, you want those guys to kind of be the quarterback. It seems like Blake Martinez has really taken to that role. Now, there's areas in his game he still needs to develop. I mean, he could stand to become a more dynamic playmaker this year. If he wants to take that leap to Pro Bowl caliber, I mean, we know he's got great range as a tackler, lots of tackles. We know he's a smart, savvy football player. More big plays, I think, would be next for him, but there's a lot of value in having a guy who has that type of communicative and organizational skill from the middle of your defense.
Okay, so tell me this as far as what is going on with the secondary, because I read that all of these cornerbacks have to know how to play safety, and they're only referred to as defensive backs. Now, does that simply mean a guy like Josh Jackson, that maybe they've just run out of patience with what he can do in that slot role or out wide, and they've decided to make that move, or kind of covering up the fact that that's what the issue is?
I don't know if that's connected. I think they've clearly moved on from Josh Jackson being a starting safety. That's why they came and they signed Adrian Amos and traded up in the first round for Darnell Savage. I mean, those are your starting safeties.
Yep.
I think that Josh Jackson, if he ever shows up, has a role in the secondary, should he want one. I think that role is more of a coverage linebacker than anything in the slot. I mean, he's still a guy that I don't think you want him playing too far away from the line of scrimmage, but if he's in the box, he has the athleticism to be a productive player in a limited role. But I think that the biggest issue last year was coverage down the middle of the field, and getting one defensive backs coach and Jason Simmons, having them on a coverage basis, having almost basically all their coverage meetings now in the same room between corners and safeties. The hope is to eradicate that issue and to take that, you know, all the big plays they got burned on middle deep to completely wipe out the lack of communication that goes into those breakdowns. That I think is what they're targeting with that. And, you know, we'll see if it works. I mean, a year ago, they reorganized the coaching staff on the defensive secondary so that Joe Witt was the defensive pass game coordinator, and that Jason Simmons was the DB coach, and they wanted them to work together like that to improve collaboration, and it didn't work. So maybe now it's a less of a more mentality, and they're peeling back there and trying to just get them all on the same page. We'll see if it works, but. That's their hope.
You know, the other thing about this is, who are your top three cornerbacks right now? I mean, we know Jaire Alexander for sure at this point, but King has been hurt so much. Are they thinking that he's going to start the season as a starting corner, or is it going to be somebody else?
No, we'll put it this way. When they were in their 11-on-11 walkthrough beginning of practice yesterday, the two corners in base were Alexander and Kevin King. Kevin King's played about half his games. That's obviously not good. I mean, this is the whole cliche, your greatest ability is your availability, right?
Right.
If all things are equal, you go Madden mode and just like turn injuries off, I think the best corner on this team, talent-wise, is Kevin King. When he's healthy, he just has been healthy for half his games. That's a big issue. So the top three is going to be King, Alexander, Tremont Williams right now when they're healthy. And that's the key caveat. They like to think that Josh Jackson, having a year at this level under his belt, is able to take a jump this year. You know, you can play corner and run a 4.5 40, but your play speed and your anticipatory skills have got to make up for the lack of speed. It's a lot easier when you're Jaire Alexander running a 4.37 or whatever he runs, 4.3s, to make up for mistakes and make up for kind of swimming a little bit with the play speed and acclimating to this level. It's a lot harder when you're 2/10 slower just from a speed standpoint. You've got to have that play speed, and it's tough for rookies. So, I mean, from a rookie learning curve, it was a lot harder for Josh Jackson last year than it was Jaire Alexander. I think you saw that play out on the field. But you can, you know, Rashad Breland, he ran a 4.5. He's been a pretty good corner and did some good things when healthy for the Packers last year. You can run 4.5 at that position. You just got to have the play speed. So it's going to be interesting to see if Josh Jackson's able to do that. If he is, they go 4 deep there. They need a 5th, maybe a 6th. But every year, the last 3 or 4 years, it's been all about injuries at that position. It's probably going to be that way again. If those guys stay healthy, they have some talent. If they don't, they're going to be playing with sixth and seventh cornerbacks as their top two. I mean, they've had those moments and those weeks in the past couple of years, and that's what they're trying to avoid.
Talk with our insider, Ryan Wood, about some Packers OTAs. Ryan, we've talked to you now for about 15, 20 minutes, and we have not mentioned the two high-priced free agents that the Packers brought in, the linebacker, Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith. Anything interesting that you've noticed from them in their first couple of days in green and gold?
Not so much in terms of, I mean, nothing surprising. They're versatile pieces, and all evaluation on the defensive line or the offensive line for that matter is kind of mute until they put the pads on. So, I'd be lying if I said that there's anything that really jumped out other than, you know, they are versatile and, you know, they've plugged right in on the ones as expected, and they've gotten those first team reps, and that's the way. If all goes according to plan, there's no injuries, and that's the way it's going to stay. It does give Rashawn Gary some flexibility, affords him some patience to develop. You know, a lot of times you get an outside linebacker at 12 you in the draft, you're looking at him coming in starting right away, and they don't necessarily have to do that because they have the Smiths. Rashawn Gary's going to get his snaps, but especially early on, it doesn't have to be anything more than rotational, and they can pick his strengths and let him develop his weaknesses. For example, the fact that on early downs, I mean, he's never dropped in coverage, and that's something that on early downs as an outside linebacker in my Pettine system, you got to be able to do. Well, Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith, they've done that. I mean, they have that already in their repertoire. So, I think that that's probably a good setup to bring in a really athletic, highly touted rookie like Rashawn Gary, and having the option of bringing him along at his own pace instead of thrusting him in and giving him more snaps and roles and situations that he's not ready for.
What about special teams and the two kickers? Is everybody's job safe here, and we're just going through the routine of bringing in people for competition?
Here's my stance on that. Mason Crosby would just be really smart to kick really well this offseason, this training camp, and never even have to find out how legitimate this competition is. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like just go out there and kick well.
Don't make it a conversation.
I think that if all things are equal, it's definitely Mason Crosby. I think he breaks the tie. I think his experience in Lambeau Field is I mean, it's a clear, definitive tiebreaker. But if Sam Ficken's going to have to go out and win the job. But if he goes out and wins the job, Crosby's not good. He just falls apart. Ficken's really good. I mean that's when it gets interesting. So from Crosby's standpoint, just go out there and win the job. Don't even let this become a possibility. And he has that potential. He has that ability. Mason Crosby's kicked a very long time in this league. He's done it at a high level in Green Bay, a tough place to kick. He struggled the past 2 years. Get past those struggles like he has before. He got past 2012 and went on to be a very good kicker. If he's able to do that, I think the chances of him losing that job are very small. You can't say zero. How small, it would behoove him to kick really well in camp and not even find out.
Now, that's some great advice. That's some great life advice from Ryan Wood on the Wendy's Big Show from Mason Crosby.
Don't suck.
Just don't suck.
Right. Don't suck.
Yeah.
Don't suck and you won't lose your job. Pretty simple.
It's within his control, you know?
Right, exactly. Well, you're not saying anything that's out of the ordinary. Ryan, appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you soon about some more Packers, all right?
All right, take care, guys. Have a good summer.
That's Ryan Wood joining us on the Great Midwest Bank. Have a good summer. What is it? We're going to bug him a lot more during the summer. What is he talking about?
I don't know.
Have a nice summer.
I don't know.
Ryan, hold on, buddy.
Maybe he's got some news. Maybe he's going to cover the PBA.
Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019?
Semifinals of the playoffs are coming up this week.
Look no further. Go to greatmidwestbank.com. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
With the pads.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.